To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul and Barnabas Face Opposition, as we pick up in Acts chapter 14, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 14? Paul and Barnabas, in carrying the gospel, have come into the uncharted territories, as far as the gospel is concerned, into Asia Minor. They came from Cyprus to the area that is now known as Turkey. They did not remain in the coastal plains of Pamphylia. It is thought that Paul probably got malaria fever. It was a very prevalent thing around the coastal plains of Pamphylia at that time. And later on, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he spoke to them about how sick he was when he was there with them. So the fact that Paul did not stay in Pamphylia, but immediately moved into the upper plateau country of Pisidia, to the city of Antioch, that he was going up there for actually health reasons as much as anything else. Coming into the area of Galatia. There in Antioch, they went into the synagogue, they preached Jesus Christ, and there was a tremendous response the following week. Practically the whole town came out to listen to them, which created a jealousy in the hearts of the Jews in the synagogue, and they turned the people against Paul and Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas left Antioch, and as we come into chapter 14, they went from Antioch about 50 miles away to Iconium. And so when they came to Iconium, as was their procedure, they went into the synagogue again on the Sabbath day, and they again spoke, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against Paul and Barnabas and those who had believed. And so they remained there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and the Lord granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So they were facing opposition in Iconium. And rather than fleeing from the opposition, they stayed there a long time in order that they might really root and ground those who believed in the faith. I think that one of the weaknesses of modern day evangelism is the lack of follow-up. It is rather tragic to bring people to a birth in Jesus Christ, but don't carry them on into a mature state. And that has been one of the great weaknesses of the church today. So many times the church makes its emphasis upon evangelism rather than the developing of a strong body. And so when they saw the opposition, they remained there in Iconium for a long time in order that they might really establish the believers in the faith, knowing that they were going to have difficulty in their Christian walk. Now they spoke boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony unto the word of his grace. In other words, in Acts, the last verses, is that they went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with them with signs following. Here again, the Lord gave witness to the truth that they declared by signs, miracles, wonders that were done there in Iconium to confirm the truth of what was being declared. Signs following. Today, many have reversed that and they have signs preceding. And they hope by the signs to attract people. But here and in the New Testament, the signs were for confirming of the truth of the word that had been declared. And so they had declared boldly the Lord to them, who gave then confirming evidence to the people of the truth. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. So when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, and they became aware of it, they fled unto Lystra, about 40 miles away, and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that was round about that area. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra who was lame in his feet, being a cripple, and from his mother's womb he had never been able to walk. And the same heard Paul speak. And as Paul was steadfastly beholding him, he perceived that he had the faith to be healed. And so he said to him with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter or Zeus, and they called Paul Mercurius or Hermes. Now they were Greeks. Jupiter and Mercurius were the Roman names of the Greek gods of Zeus and Hermes. Zeus was supposedly born to Croesus and Rhea, who were of the mythological race of the Titans. When Zeus grew up, he and his brothers rebelled against the Titans and overthrew them. And Zeus became the chief god, the god of the skies. Hermes was born of an illicit relationship, one of the many that Zeus had with the goddesses and the mortal women, and was known as the god of speech. And because Paul was the chief spokesman, they figured he must be Hermes. And because Barnabas was probably a very stately looking person, taller, they said that he was Zeus. Now there at Lystra, there was a great temple to Jupiter. And according to the legends, years earlier, Jupiter and Hermes came to the city of Lystra incognito. But nobody recognized them. And the people treated them rather shabbily. But there was one couple who took them in and treated them nice. And so for a reward, Zeus made them the perpetual keepers of the temple of Zeus there in Lystra, for he turned them into two trees that stood at the front of the temple, and thus they were the perpetual guards of the temple of Zeus. And so when they saw this miracle that Paul had wrought, speaking the word of faith to this lame man, for somehow again by the Spirit of God, Paul knew that this man had faith to be healed. And it had to be just the discerning of the Spirit of God on Paul's part. So Paul said with a loud voice, the word of faith, stand up on your feet. Now at this point, the man had one of two choices. Either to stand up on his feet, believing the word of faith, or to laugh and scoff at the command of Paul and beg his inability. Notice how many times Jesus gave impossible commands. To the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. Lord, I can't. My hand is withered. Can't you see? Now, those who have been challenged with the word of faith have the choice to obey and to receive that work of God or to argue with it. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that too many times we're arguing with the Lord. The Lord speaks his word of faith to our hearts. Be strong. Go in and conquer. Oh, Lord, I would love to conquer. Oh, Lord, I'm so weak. I would just love. Oh, you don't know, Lord, how I'd love to do that, you know. And we're telling him all the reasons why we can't rather than just obeying and going ahead and doing it. Now, if you will just will to obey those commands of Christ to your heart, you will find, as did this man, that God will give to you all that you need to obey his command of faith. So when God says to you, all right, now be strong and be victorious, say, all right, Lord, and just accept and be strong and victorious. That's all there is to it. If you will to obey, he will give you the capacity to do it. So Paul spoke a word of faith. The man stood on his feet, he began to leap and walk, and the people said, the gods have come down. He's come back again. You know, the legend was that he had been there before. He's come back again. So they ran down to the temple of Jupiter. For the temple was there at the gates of the city, and they brought oxen and garlands unto the gates. And the priest of Zeus would have done sacrifice with the people to Paul. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you. And we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made the heaven and earth and the sea and all of the things that are therein, who in times past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. He gave us rain, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now notice, here are people. And notice there was no synagogue in Lystra. Paul's usual method in coming into a city would be to go into the synagogue. Because there, at least, the people had a basic foundation in their knowledge of God, having studied the Old Testament. They knew the true and the living God. Now Paul is getting further and further into the wilds, you might say. He comes now to the city of Lystra, where no synagogue existed. Now, in any city, if there were 10 adult Jewish males, they would form a synagogue. So that means there wasn't 10 adult Jewish males in Lystra. No synagogue. So Paul just goes on the street and starts to preach to the people. But in talking to them about God, he must start with nature. God has not left himself without witness. in that God has been good. He has given you the rainy seasons. He has given you the fruitful ground. Lystra was the center of the corn raising of the ancient world. It was the Iowa of that time where most of the corn was raised. Very good, abundant crops. God has given to you the fruitful seasons. God has given you the rain. God has made himself known through nature. So God has not been without witness. And so he starts where they are. They have very little concept of the true and the living God. All they know about God is the legends of Zeus, who through his many affairs gave birth to Apollo, to Athena, to Muses, to Phaetis, to Artemis, and to all of the other gods that they worshipped. But they didn't know about the true and the living God. And so Paul starts at an area that they can understand, the revelation of God in nature. And so as they are ready to make a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, Paul says, no, we've come to preach to you. We're men. We're just like you are. And we've come to preach to you that you should turn from these vanities, these legends, these beliefs that you have are empty. They're not true. You should turn from these to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the seas, everything that is in them, and has left his witness by being good to you and giving you rain and fruitful seasons. So he starts where they are. God has revealed himself in nature. Now David tells us in the 19th Psalm that the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech. Night unto night their voice goeth forth, and there is not a speech nor a language where their voice is not heard. God speaks to man universally in nature. Every night the heavens talk to you. When you look up into that star-filled sky, God is talking to you. The heavens are declaring to you the glory, the vastness, the awesomeness of God. And every day as you look around at the flowers, the fields, the various life forms, God is speaking to you. The problem is that so often we are misinterpreting and we stop short and man begins to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Paul speaks of that danger in Romans. So a man becomes a pantheist. Yes, he's aware of God, but everything becomes God. That beautiful green bean field becomes God, though it's going to turn brown and die, get plowed under. But he begins to worship nature, animism. I remember when I was a little tiny kid, our family was up at Yosemite National Park. And you know how little kids are. There were other kids. We were in Camp 14 by the Merced River. And we were looking up at Glacier Point. And this little kid said to me, do you know who made that? And I says, yeah, I know who made that. God made that. Oh, no, Mother Nature made that. Well, it's not right to fool around with Mother Nature. But man stops short of God. So Paul pointed out to them, God has given a witness of himself to you in nature. I believe that at this point, Paul was facing one of the gravest dangers in his whole career. At this point, his career could have come to an end. His ministry and work for God could have halted right here had he taken the praise and the glory that these people were wanting to put upon him. I think the gravest danger of the ministry is not when you're under severe persecution, but when God has used your life, you're highly effective, and everybody begins to speak well of you, begins to praise you, begins to declare what a marvelous person and all you are. You are facing there the gravest danger of your ministry, because if you accept that praise, you will soon find yourself sitting on the shelf. It is interesting how that, again, man wants to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Paul was the instrument that God used, and so they were ready to worship Paul. Now, Paul could have rationalized in his mind, well, this is good. I've got them right in my hand. I'll let them go ahead and worship me, and then I'll point them to the Lord. And unfortunately, there are many people who follow this policy. They try to draw persons to themselves, and once they're really attached to me, then I can turn them over to the Lord. I can, you know, they so admire me and they so love me, now I'll bring them to Jesus. It's a very dangerous rationale.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 14. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you. And may the Lord watch over you and keep you. In His love and in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. This intimate letter written by Paul while in prison is full of riches available to every Christian. In the Word for Today resource, Philippians Bible Study, follow Kay Smith as she takes you on a verse-by-verse discovery of the truths that enabled Paul to worship in shackles, rejoice in persecution, and walk joyfully through life's darkest places. You can order this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.